Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Maloff, here. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning, good morning.
And we are going to have some great stuff lined up for you throughout the whole day today, and we're going to have some fun this hour. But right now, we're kicking it off with our good friend, Patrick, from High Gear Promotions. Patrick, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good to be with you.
Thanks for being here. You know, I noticed this right away when we first said hi in the office over there. You got a great radio voice.
Thank you very much.
I got to talk to Steph about having people that got better radio voices than me on the air. Like, we got to do something about that. We can't do this at the same time. Patrick, thank you for being here.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
So how's your day going?
It's going great. Yeah. I slid into the parking lot to get here sideways, just you know, as is standard
coming in hot.
Wisconsin wintertime. So yeah, a little frosty out there.
Patrick, of course, with High Gear Promotions, LLC. It was formed in 2014. It's a concert and event promotion company specializing in booking and promoting high-quality music and comedy shows. That is your standard definition. We're going to get to know Patrick a little bit, and we're getting to know your production company, High Gear Promotions, a little bit more in depth than that. But before we do any of that, Patrick, one of the things we like doing around here is getting people's origin stories, finding out your background and everything. Let us know, and I think the audience is going to enjoy this, where you're from and what got you into this field.
Yeah, so I'll try to give you the abbreviated version of that. I'm a Wisconsin Rapids, born and raised. Went to Lincoln High School, graduated in 2001.
Yeah. And go Raiders.
Yeah, absolutely. And so my whole family's from around here. I moved away in, when did I move away? In about 2003 or so. Moved to Green Bay for a little while, then had a little hop down in Texas, down by Houston, Texas, and then back to Green Bay for about 10 or 12 years. And so got married over there and decided my wife's family is all from Northeast Iowa area. And so Christmases, holidays, and everything else sort of became a drain to be driving so far for everything. And so we decided to come back to central Wisconsin. So at least we only have to travel once for holiday, especially once kids came around and everything.
Right.
So, it's good to be back. So it was just natural and in the nature of my business. I travel everywhere I go for events anyway. So it really didn't matter if I moved, except when I want to meet with people in Green Bay. It's a little more annoying to drive an hour and a half to go back to meet with a radio station or something. But so being back here, it's great to be back. And now, as I was mentioning earlier, I'm trying to be more intentional about doing events to support this community, because I do so much outside of Wisconsin Rapids, you know, Madison, Green Bay, Eau Claire area. I've done a lot. I've done shows in 8 different states since we started, but trying to do some more stuff here locally.
Awesome.
We've covered this a lot in the last three, four years really. People migrating, and so many of them going back to their home state or their home city. Did anything in particular? What you've tarot this is certainly adds to that. But was it a little bit of that too? The times being what they were the last couple of years that made you want to kind of get more back to your roots, more back to this area.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it was in 2018 we came back. I felt like I missed some opportunities. My father passed away in 2017, and being away and doing everything that I was doing, I felt like I missed some opportunities to be around him before he passed. So my mom being a widow, I felt like being able to be around the grandkids a little bit more and that sort of thing, it was just an opportunity to come back a little bit closer to home.
Feel for you and yours, but I appreciate you sharing that, and good on you for thinking of that. You know, not a lot of people do. That's pretty darn cool, and it means something to be able to do what you're doing, whatever the work is, in your home state or near it or something. There's something about that has been building for a lot of people. When it comes to this field, High Gear Promotions, and being in something like this, what got you to want to do that?
So I've always been I loved the arts when I was in high school. I'm a big sports fan. I hurt my knee playing football when I was in high school, and so I had to find something else to fill my time. So I got into drama and music, and anybody that went to high school with me know that knows that I was never going to be good enough to get paid to ever do any of those things, to be the guy on stage doing them. I could get by in high school, but so the next best thing is to get involved and see how I can be a part of it and produce it in some way, shape, or form. And so I got into just trying to volunteer at events. And many years ago, I started helping out down in at what was called Fanfare in Nashville, and now it's CMA Fest, and just volunteering for a couple artists down there and seeing how I could get involved. And that sort of opened my eyes to how the sausage is made, so to speak, when it comes to live production. And then at some point, I just kind of decided to try to scrape some money away for a little bit to see if I could make a go of it and start my own company. And I had my own ideas, and rather than trying to ask somebody else, you know, tell somebody else what my ideas were and hope that they would try to do them, I just thought, why don't I just do it myself? Because I'm sort of, that's just my personality. And
right on.
And so I saved some money for a few years, and I think decided to make a go of it and have enough money to put a, you know, a deposit down on a venue and a artist and some marketing, and pray that I sold enough tickets to pay the bills. So, and that's really what concert promotion is. It's high stakes gambling every time. So,
wow,
it really is. Yeah, yeah. And I think it's kind of cool to be able to talk to somebody who really can put words to that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I or Melissa say something about it to me, it's one thing, but somebody who's actually doing the work. Yeah. And when it comes to the work, can you give us kind of a generic version of what like a day on the job is like with any particular act, or even if there is an example from, you know, recently or something you want to note or something?
Yeah, I mean, on an event day, it's a very long day. At all times, I'm usually the first one there to make sure that we're prepared for everything. Of course, there's a lot of advance information that's gathered. So, and talking to artist management venue before that. But I'm usually one of the, if not the first person at the venue, I'm one of the first people to be there and make sure that the venue staff is, that we have everything that we need. We have, you know, there's breakfast and there's hands and all this stuff. So that way, as soon as a bus pulls up and they're ready to go, because it starts with load in. And you go right from load in, you go to lunch, and then you're sound checking, and then you're going into, now you're prepping dinner, and you have to have, you know, snacks, and then you're moving into, you have people showing up for a, you know, early entry for a VIP event or something like that. So we're organizing what room that's going to be in and all that. And so it just kind of goes, there's so many things that happen before the actual show even starts.
Right.
And then, of course, once it's all over and everybody leaves the room, you know, we still have 2 to 3 hours where we're loading out and tearing down and packing up. And by the time, you know, you get out of there and you finally slap your face on a pillow, it's, you know, six hours after the show has ended a lot of times. So, but I wouldn't change it. If I could pay my bills with happiness, I would do it for free because I love it.
Yeah, so. I can tell. It's in your voice. I can hear it.
How many shows do you do in a month?
Well, it really varies. So just I'll back up just a little bit. So what started as exclusively concert promotion kind of transformed over time to, you know, and this kind of ties into my origin story of when I was working with down in Nashville. I kind of had some connections to where I started working with Billy Ray Cyrus and kind of helping his team out and got to know that family. I babysat Miley when she was about 8 years old.
Nice.
And so anyway, fast forward a little bit further forward, and then there was Billy was on tour, and I hadn't seen him or his crew for many years, and so I decided to go out to the show because he was going to be in Wisconsin. And this guy with a ball cap comes walking out on stage who wasn't billed on the show, kind of gruff-looking guy with a ball cap. And I'm like, oh, come on. They're like, there's already two openers. Like, how many more are we going to have? And he started singing and absolutely just snapped my head around. And I went, oh, wow, he's really good. And so his name was Derek Jones. So I went up to him after the show, and I said, hey, man, I'm a promoter. I don't know if I can ever do anything for you, but if I can ever give you an audience, I will. And so that's what it ended up, the first part of a relationship that ended up being where he ultimately, later on when he left Billy's tour, asked me if I'd manage him. And I said, I don't know how to be a manager. That's not what I do. And he said, well, you believe in me and you work hard. So those, I feels like those are the two most important pieces
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I've been managing him now for for the last 4 years or so, and so that kind of all ties together with, you know, what we, you know, and then fast forward to now we're doing events with him all over the Midwest, including right here in Wisconsin Rapids with Chris Cruzy here on the 20th. So that's how that came together.
Awesome. Cannot wait. Oh, that's awesome, man. That is really cool. Huh. What with your product, with your company, what stands out to you? What do you guys offer? What can you do that others can't?
Yeah, so one thing that I think is really helpful is that, so I've done shows in 8 different states, either as a promoter or a tour manager, which it's probably more now because we just added a few more because I tour managed a tour this Christmas. But I have the ability to go anywhere. I can work in any venue in the country, so that's helpful. And a lot of times, you know, for example, I book for a couple of different festivals here in the state. And one of them in particular, they wanted to start a festival. They knew what they wanted to do. They had a vision for a festival, but they go, "How do you even start? Who do you call? And you know, what's, you know, how much? If they tell you a number, you know,
how do you compare that with?
I don't even know is that a fair number that they're asking for? Right. And you know, they send me a rider that's a 50-page document, and do I have to do everything on this? And so that's where I come in as somebody who can say, you know, as a consultant or as kind of a middle agent, to where I can help get them through that process and ultimately save them a lot of money and cross out a lot of stuff that, you know, that maybe they just assume they'd have to go with.
Right.
Like, oh yeah,
right.
I have to give you 12 hotel rooms. No, you don't.
Right on.
So stuff like that. But then it's funny. I'm kind of in a, I kind of have mixed, because being an artist manager too, I've been on the other side of the table that
wondering.
Too. So there's a balance there. So okay. I can see it from both sides, and I think it's really useful for everybody when somebody that can see it from both sides can step in there. So what started out is just concert promotion. We're exclusively buying everything. Now we've gotten into consulting, artist management, tour management, festival booking, and so we've kind of do a little bit of it all.
You get a little something everything with this. That is definitely something that not everybody can offer. That's great, man. You mentioned making an effort, an intention to do more local, to advertise a little bit more and stuff. And then, of course, you're on the air with us as part of the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce, being a new member of the chamber.
Yeah.
And congratulations. Welcome to the team.
Thank you. Thank you.
What was it about this that you, okay, I want to do that. I want to be a chamber member.
I mean, the chamber is, we have that shared vision of wanting to support our local community and local businesses. And so it was a no-brainer for me, and I have great friends and professional relationships that are in and on the chamber leadership and as members of the chamber. So it was just a no-brainer. As a matter of fact, I'm probably, you know, 2 years too late if you ask some friends over there that somebody just needed to remind me. I just needed to write a check and I kept forgetting. But yeah, it's been great to connect with other businesses that want to support and have a shared vision. So, you know, this event that we're doing down at the Outpost on the 20th, you know, we have places like the Junkyard and Heinz and Printing and Edward Jones, Tim Myers down in Rome, Edward Jones, a representative over there, great guy. Rapids Ford, you know, just all these great businesses that wanted to step up and help support live entertainment.
Yeah.
And especially when, you know, it'd be time when it's gloomy and gross outside, you
yeah.
kind of get cabin fever and people are stuck inside, this will be an opportunity for people to get out and have a good time.
Awesome.
We'll let people know how they can get a hold of you before we wrap up, but before I let the audience know, I usually tell our chamber members 10-15 minute interview, won't keep you too long. You guys got other things to be doing and everything, and we appreciate you joining us on the air. I knew this was going to happen. I get talking to Patrick here. I could talk to you all day, man.
Yeah.
You're an interesting guy. You got some stuff to talk about here. I would keep him for another half an hour at least.
We could tell some stories. That's for sure.
You're going to have to come back.
Yeah.
You're definitely
going to
have. There'll be a part two of this interview.
Sounds
that's
good.
For sure.
Yeah.
But what is next for your production company? What do you guys have on the docket?
Yeah, so So next up is a week from Friday, and I wish I could offer to sell you tickets to it, but it's sold out, is Derek Jones and Chris Cruzy. And I actually brought you guys gifts, so this is it. I brought you a few CDs. Now, you might have to use them as coasters but if you don't have a place to put those in, but that's Derek's latest EP. So
that's awesome,
I still
man.
Have
Thank
a
you.
CD player in my car.
Yes. Yeah, all right.
Same here.
You let me know what you think.
Yep, same
right.
here.
And so anyway, Derek and then Chris Cruzy, who, of course, everybody in Wisconsin is probably familiar with. He's from Wisconsin, was on The Voice, and so they're going to be doing a Songs and Stories event at the Outpost on the 20th,
nice.
Right here in Rapids. So we are doing that, although it's not in this town, but those of you that want to maybe still see that show, we do have some tickets available. They're doing that show again at the Hillsboro Brewing Company on February 3rd, so 2 weeks after that.
Cool.
We do still have some tickets for that, and you can stop by spotlightseries.live is the website where we have that. And if I was more up to date, and I probably should be, I need to get it on my website, highgearpromotions.com. So, but those are the next things that we have coming up, and then we have a big summer full with Derek and other promoted events that we're doing. We'll probably wrap there. And I'll let you wrap it up here.
We're going to get you busier after this interview here too. You're going to have some more people coming your way. I've got a band I'm working on. It's Penguins and Planes. All we have is a name.
Yeah.
I don't even have other band members. But I'm coming to you.
Yeah.
As soon as I put this band together and everything, I'm coming to you, bro.
I love it. If I can help you, let me know.
Patrick from High Gear Promotions joining us here. And Patrick, if people want to, and I'm an artist out there, and I do want to reach out to you or anybody out there listening, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can head to highgearpromotions.com. There's a contact form on there. Otherwise, you can always email me at patrick@highgearpromotions.com.
Appreciate the time. And yeah, you are definitely coming back, man. You did too good of a job. It's your own fault. You did too good of a job.
All right.
Appreciate
Thank you
the
guys
time,
for having
bro.
Me. Appreciate it.
We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show, everybody, here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. And we're still in good spirits right here from talking to Patrick.
Oh, he is awesome.
That was great.
We got to have him back.
He's definitely coming back. Highgearpromotions.com is the website. Be sure to bookmark that and go there for all your promotion needs.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of the Chamber, they are going to be joining us in just a little bit as we kick off Morning Magazine for the week. Katie Wright, our friend, is going to join us. We'll talk about some great promotions and different things coming up in the beginning of the year here.
Mm-hmm.
Touching on a little bit of entertainment news, and this story has a couple of little layers to it. Does this count as irony? Paul McCartney was almost hit by a car in the crosswalk for the Abbey Road album cover. Paul was recreating that famous walk for his daughter, Mary, who made a documentary about Abbey Road Studios called If These Walls Could Sing.
Mm.
Great title.
Mm-hmm.
Great title.
Yeah.
Wonderful title. She says, quote, "It was so funny. As we were leaving the studio, I said, I'll film you crossing the street. And he went over and this car totally didn't stop for him." Now, Paul has been kind of haunted, if you will, throughout his, I would say, over half of his life about the Paul is dead thing.
Mm-hmm.
There was this long-time rumor that Paul McCartney was dead, and the Beatles were trying to tell their fans through, you know, messages through songs and these different things. And during the Abbey Road cover, Paul is the only one without shoes on, and there was a reference to that and everything. Like, and obviously, Paul McCartney is alive and well and, you know, doing great and everything, wishing him well, Sir Paul McCartney. But this is a long time, like, for at a certain point in his career, it really daunted his career, like, it really hung over him. And then to think of this almost happening is just kind of like, oh geez,
a little ironic.
And I can't imagine, like, let alone if you would actually, God forbid, hit the man, but I can't imagine how horrible you must feel as an Englishman that you almost hit Sir Paul McCartney.
Yeah, you got to wonder if the person even knew it, though.
Oh yeah, sure. But I mean, if you happen to look out your window, look at the side window,
look at the rearview mirror,
and like,
wait, was that Paul?
No way.
No.
Like, you're about to start yelling obscenities or whatever out the window, and then you realize who it is. You're like, wait a minute. Like, should I go back for an autograph?
Yeah,
is that
weird?
It'd probably be weird. I'm not going to do that.
I should just, maybe if I apologize first.
Can't wait to tell my wife. Honey, I almost hit Paul McCartney.
What?
Another interesting one here. Garth Brooks did a surprise set at a Bluebird Cafe in Nashville over the weekend.
What, really?
It wasn't just a random appearance. They were raising money for a local hospice. It's unclear how many songs he performed, but in a post on Instagram, he's doing an acoustic version of his 92 song, The River. Now, it was not planned, him doing this, showing up and doing these songs. The event itself was planned. That was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I've read, Garth was in the area and saw that this was happening. It's a cause he cares quite a bit about. And just, I believe he reached out to the owner, or called the bar, asked to speak to the owner. And I don't believe that they believed him right away until he literally showed up.
Like, no, I'm actually Garth.
Yeah, sure, Mr. Brooks. You can come by and play a couple songs for us. And this guy, I don't know who this Yahoo is. Like, oh my God, it's Garth Brooks.
It actually is.
That's cool. I mean, that's just cool. Garth made not a cent from this, or anything else. Understood that people were recording him and did not begrudge them that or anything. Just cared about the cause, cared about helping out.
That's
also
awesome.
I got to think, helped out that cafe a little bit there too.
I'm sure.
Like,
well, as notoriety, you know, like the story now spreading, people are gonna want to go check it out if they're in the area. And he played one of my favorite songs by him.
That's a great song. It's a great song. To me, as a person who was not a diehard fan of his in high school and all that, when he was really rising up and stuff, that was the song to me that was like, oh, this guy can sing. This guy, not just that this guy can sing, guy can write.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the thing. And to me, I have nothing against great singers. Something that pulls me into an artist when they sing and write their own songs. It's not necessary for me, but it is a difference maker.
No, it's like an added level.
Yeah.
It's like a bonus.
When I look at, like I was talking about Donald Fagen earlier and everything, there's a huge reason why I love Donald Fagen. He's always written his own stuff. He's, you know, I just like artists to do that. I don't have anything. I'm sure there's a lot of artists that I like that do other people's work. There's just something about that to me. And that's part of the reason why I respect that man so much. I may not have a whole lot of Garth Brooks in my, you know, shuffle, but I'd back that guy on almost anything. Like what he is, I think he has proven enough to us in his career. He's done enough of this is not the first time Garth Brooks has done something like this. This is actually common for him. It's almost becoming like kind of another Garth Brooks showed up again, you know, it did this thing. He just does this stuff a lot.
That's cool.
I respect that so deeply from an artist when they you know, we value Patrick's time. You know, Patrick comes in here, he's running the business himself, he's in charge of all these different things, he's got a family, all that stuff. We value his time very much. There is something about when a person does this with takes their valued time and does this with it. If he had not done this, nobody would know. Nobody would care. It's not a big deal. The fact that he did it.
It speaks to he's doing what he loves and he's sharing it with everyone, which is just awesome. Without looking for something to gain from it.
Yes, that's the thing. Thank you, Melissa, because I couldn't think of how to word it. But without any personal gain to this for him, and
just
stuff,
just the fulfillment of being able to do what he loves and perform for people.
Yeah, that's
really cool.
Pretty darn cool. We're going to come back with something not so cool. We got a That Ain't Right story coming up for it. Also got some more fun. Take a listen to Melissa's news. We'll come back after that on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Got to get that drop in there.
Well, yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. Hope you're having a great Tuesday out there. Got some fun stuff to take you to the top of the hour. Melissa and James here with you, wrapping up the morning show. Wanted to take a moment to talk about some of our friends in Point and their great production that they got coming up over at CWAC.
So our dear friends, Carrie Drager and Steve Martin, among others, I believe. I haven't been able to find a cast list for this, but they are doing a performance. It's a preview performance for the show that they're going to be performing at the AACT Fest in Beaver Dam. And the show is called A Kid Like Jake. And their performances are this weekend. So it's Friday and Saturday night at 7:30 at the Century Theater in Stevens Point. And this is going to be one of those more edgy pieces of theater. So if you want to really be immersed in real theater, for another way to put it. But I do believe that this is adult material. So this is not a show for kids. And but it's going to make you laugh. It's going to make you cry. It's going to, you know, the whole gamut of emotions. But it does, it deals with pregnancy and pregnancy loss. So just be aware of that going into it. But it looks like an awesome show. I know that Carrie on her Facebook page did some promotion for it, and they had done some interviews with cast members, and I got to see hers. She's really excited about this performance. So,
I have rambled on these airwaves for a very long time of what I think of Mr. Steve Martin and how valuable his skill is, I think, in this area, how good he is. Carrie is amazing herself. She is fantastic. It's such a great subject matter to do in a show. We don't have enough material on that subject, and it's something that has affected so many people. I know I've been affected by it, my ex, so many people, and it can be triggering, so I appreciate you mentioning those things. I do think this is one of those topics that if you've been affected by this, it actually pulls you to the show, because there's just so little material covering this subject, and giving people an opportunity to heal. Because, I mean, that's so much of the purpose of the arts is to heal and grow and hopefully feel something akin to better through the process.
And for others who haven't experienced it to have empathy.
It's a really cool thing that they're doing to be able to put the time and energy to it, too.
And to offer up a preview performance for for the community. And it's exciting that they are back to performing again in the Century Theater. I know they've got another show coming up in February. My friend Christopher Bongan is in it. I'm super excited to be able to go see that one.
It's a comedy written by our good friend Mike Egrin. Mike is a longtime Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater member. I've learned so much from Mike over the years. And his wonderful wife, Susan Egrin,
of course.
That is going to be a really good show. Talking with Amber Fate about that show. Amber's hopefully they're going to join us on Director's Cut in the next couple of weeks so we can help promote that and talk it and get to know it a little bit more. I'd love to have Mike on. I've wanted to talk to Mike for a while now, just about his writing process. I've talked to Mike about acting the end of days. That poor man has heard more questions from me about acting than most human beings have. but I'd love to hear more about his writing and that part of it. And this looks like a good one. 1974.
And the performance dates are February 3rd through the 5th and 10th and 11th.
And you can find out more by going to cwact.org. That's cwact.org. Be sure to go there. Go to their social media accounts as well and follow them and keep up on what they're doing over there. You're doing some great work, doing some really good theater. Got to get up there and get in a production. I got to. I have to. So break a leg, everybody.
Good luck. Have fun. Wish them a great get out run. And see shows this weekend.
You want to give the dates one more time?
For this weekend, it's the 13th and the 14th at 7:30 at Century Theater for A Kid Like Jake. And then the dates for 1974 are in February, February 3rd through the 5th, and the 10th and 11th for 1974.
Got two That Ain't Right stories back to back here. Now, one of these, this first one, it's more of a That Ain't Right story, me just frustrated. I get it, and I understand why this happened. I'm an adult. I just don't like it. I just don't like it.
Okay.
So, personally am calling this a That Ain't Right story.
You're entitled to your opinion.
It is and this probably well covered by now, but we did not have a chance to touch on this during the break or anything. The iconic sportswear catalog East Bay is has been discontinued in December.
Oh.
Did you ever read
East Bay?
East Bay magazines and stuff. I mean, that was one of my favorite things as a teenager.
Yeah, they had like outerwear and sportswear and
almost every single jersey I got was from East Bay. You got the stuff in the mail. It was such a big deal and everything. It's a shame, but East Bay Company, whose mail catalog became a favorite for sports fans across the country, reportedly ceased operations in 2023. According to Wisconsin Public Radio, 210 workers will be laid off as part of the closure in Wausau, the same town where the company was founded in 1980. Evolving from a small regional venture into a national powerhouse, East Bay began selling its own line of clothing in 1990. The company offered jerseys, jackets, and so much paraphernalia that it was the only way you could get this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, not many people have used for a catalog, let alone if I'm Nike, I don't have to go to East Bay to sell my shoes.
Right.
I just sell them from
my
own website.
Online.
So I get it. I understand why this stuff happens and everything. There's just a part of me that just, you know, like a lot of people that are getting older, and we love to hang on to our nostalgia and certain things. It's like, oh, this is cool. This was, I'm going to miss this.
Yeah. And it's hard to see another company go, you know, close in our area. And those 210 people now don't have a job.
Quote, it was my Bible as a kid, 76ers forward P.J. Tucker said. Mind you, I had no money to buy shoes, but I would just study East Bay. I would look at it like it was a school textbook. I probably got like one or two things from East Bay when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to window shop,
yeah,
and just being able to see all these things like was pretty darn cool.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't pull it up on a website. I couldn't, you know, look at the new Jordans on a website. But I could look at them in that magazine and look at drool over them. There was something cool about that to me.
Yeah.
It's I think it's understandable why it's going away.
Yeah.
It's just a shame that it is, you know, and it would have been nice to be able to keep some of these things around with this evolution we're having with the online world and online shopping and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Where one thing falls, another rises, usually, if there is a... To me, small businesses are often hermit crabs.
Mm-hmm.
One goes away, another moves in, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That doesn't make light, though, of the one that went away.
No.
And that is rough to see. That is a shame.
Mm-hmm.
And one more That Ain't Right story for you here. This isn't the most embarrassing thing that can happen on a date, but it's up there. Have you ever gone to pay for a date and got your card declined?
Oops.
7% of people who are currently dating say it has happened to them on a first date before.
Ooh, that doesn't make a good impression.
No. That is around 1 in 14. It's even more likely if you're a millennial. 10% said it's happened to them on a first date.
Hmm.
The good news is the same poll found it's not usually a deal breaker. Most people who have had their card declined got a second date anyway. So if it happens to you this weekend, don't panic. You still got a chance.
Mm-hmm.
You still got, you know, the odds are.
Just hopefully you have a backup way to pay for it, or the person you're with is willing to step up and go, oh, well, I'll get it.
Hey, those are really nice shoes you got on. Are you good at running in those? Can you run in those? No, not a good first date.
No.
I think that it's actually kind of ties into something we talked about earlier with relationships and red flags or deal breakers and all that.
Yeah.
If your card gets declined, that may not be the deal breaker, but how you handle your card being declined. If you're embarrassed and kind of falling over yourself to try to make up for the situation and all this, I think that could be a little charming at times and all that.
Mm-hmm. If you get angry... Not so much.
You start losing it, like they cut your card up or something. You're making a scene or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Choose your battles wisely.
Mm-hmm.
If this is a person you really want to have a second date with, you know, work through your anger issues and all that, and just try to. This sucks.
It happens.
Yeah.
And as the other person on the date, you know, say you're with somebody and their card is declined, the way you handle it speaks a lot about you too.
So I had never been on a date in California before. I went on kind of a loose blind date with this lady who was a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And it went great. We had a really good time. Hit it off right away, one of those things. She made a very strong point right away in the date, I'm paying.
Okay.
And I tried to fight back on this and everything, and it was kind of a silly, you know, one of those little teasing each other things and stuff. We get to the end, and I'm like, well, I'll cover the tip just to try to like make myself
contribute
feel a little
something.
Yeah. Because we had a nice meal and it was in a nice place and everything. She was so proud of this moment that she had never gotten to do this on a date before, and it meant a lot to her. Had nothing to do with me. It was all about being able to do this, and I wanted to help that and everything, so I backed off, and I was like, I'll just cover the tip. Waiter comes over. She gives her a card. Waiter comes back, like, not even a minute or two later. Card was declined.
Oh, no. Poor girl.
I can still picture her face, just the happiness and then the shame and all this stuff and everything like that. So I made a scene of making this a joke and making it like funny and all that to get her to laugh, because apparently she found me funny. So I had her rolling as we were getting out of there and everything, making a big deal of this and stuff. And there was not a whole lot of people there. It was late at night and everything. Mm-hmm. But just trying to take the embarrassment off her and trying to put it on more so me or just the situation and all this. And it's our first date too, you know, and all that. And
make light of it.
By the end of it, the waiter and all of us were laughing. Mm-hmm. And I paid for the meal and it wasn't a big deal. We moved on. But you're so right. I mean, how you handle these things. We ended up having kind of a second date, but I mean, nothing really after that. Nothing really came of it. But at least that moment for her wasn't nearly as bad.
Devastating.
Yeah.
As it could have been.
What possible advantage or benefit do you have of bringing somebody down?
Right.
In almost any situation. No. There's very few situations where you can look at it and say, well, I'll be better. I'll feel better. Like, sure, you might feel better for a moment. Like maybe for a brief moment, but that's just your mind fooling you, basically, because that's not really true happiness.
No,
I'll never understand the sports fan that enjoys more seeing the team they hate lose than their team win.
Yeah,
I've never understood that.
That rubs me wrong.
Like, I love rivalries. I get into it and everything. But I don't really care that much, you know, other than standings and different things, how your team's doing. I'm focused on my team. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I care about. I don't see the point of being a sports...
I like it better when the underdog wins.
Yeah. I hear you. We'll take a break. We'll come back with some good stories of the day and plenty more. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning on WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio, 9:51 on the clock. Melissa and James here with you. Get you ready for Morning Magazine, where in part one, we'll welcome in our friends of the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. Katie Wright will be in along at 10:30 with Tim Young from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater.
Right on.
Looking forward to all of that. Mm-hmm. It'll be a fun one. We're going to get into some good stories of the day now, and I'm calling an audible because I just realized something.
What?
I'm extremely happy that we have been able to keep Melissa here with us. Your move to Abbotsford, it doesn't always work out that way, but it sure did with us, so a big shout out to Civic and you and everybody that made that work. Huh. It's a good story of the day having you in studio, though. It is fun. Nice. Yeah, I forget how much I enjoy being able to talk in between breaks and stuff like that. It's nice having you here. Mm-hmm. And thank you for sending this story to me, because I did not see this, but our first good story of the day, it's really short. It's actually one that's going to involve a little homework for everybody out there. If you have not seen this picture, it is arguably the greatest official NASA portrait ever.
It's awesome that it's an official NASA portrait.
An astronaut included his rescue dogs in his official NASA photo. And the dogs have no idea what's going on. Nope. I want to give him credit for pulling off a good profile shot.
Yeah, he looks like there's nothing at all going on. Like, it's the perfect picture of him, and his dogs are like all over him. With, I don't know if they're growling or they look like they're kind of going at each other almost. And he's just sitting there calmly smiling, like this is the normal day in my life.
This hero's name, and he is a hero for a number of different reasons, Leland D. Melvin is his name, and actually got a birthday coming up in February here, I see.
All right.
He's an American engineer and a retired NASA astronaut. He served on the board of Space Shuttle Atlantis as a mission specialist and as a mission specialist on other ones. Melvin was named the NASA Associate Administrator for Education in October of 2010.
Nice.
He's given to our country quite a bit, and now he's given us this this amazing photo. It's so good.
And plus, he saved two dogs.
Thank you.
Two rescue dogs. That, you know, those are big dogs. Those are not little ones.
Yeah. That also segues perfectly, again, into our friends at the Southwood County Humane Society joining us this Thursday with Pet of the Week in this hour. Be sure to be listening for that this Thursday and every Thursday going forward.
I want pictures.
Yeah, definitely good pictures. You know it. More good stories of the day now. A woman on Reddit posted a letter at a DoorDash driver left in her mailbox thanking her for a generous tip. She left them on Christmas Eve, $100 on a $60 order.
Wow.
They said they've been delivering food since losing their job last fall, and the tip was so out of nowhere, they couldn't stop crying. You just never know how much you're impacting somebody.
Yeah.
Have you heard about this kid yet? An 11-year-old in Colorado named Judy Colfey. She has autism, and she learned to play the piano without any lessons. He learned how to play without any lessons. He's just naturally gifted, and people are comparing him to Mozart.
Wow.
His parents don't have much money, so all he had was a keyboard. But late last year, a guy who tunes pianos named Bill Mugginson heard him play and was so blown away, he paid $15,000 to buy a grand piano.
Wow.
It doesn't sound like Bill's super wealthy either. He used a chunk of his inheritance to buy it.
Oh, my goodness.
He's also paying for lessons so Jude can get even better. And he promised to tune the piano for him once a month for the rest of his life.
Wow.
I don't know who stands out more in this story, Jude or this guy, Bill.
Right?
That's a beautiful story right there. I do want to take just a second to highlight not just children and people with autism, but one in particular, my godson, Cole. My godson Cole, I've talked about in the air a number of times. Cole is the kid that, when he was like 3 years old, could actually say not just name every dinosaur, but name their actual names.
Their full names.
Like names I couldn't say right now if they were in front of me. But Cole could, if I called him up right now, I could reel him off just fine.
Wow.
Cole, a couple of years after that, picked up a guitar. His mom and dad, who are amazing parents, my oldest friend Chris and his wonderful wife Trista, and they encouraged him with this, and then wanted to play it. And right now, Cole has a pretty regular gig over at one of our open mics, where he just goes there and plays with other guys and stuff. Cole has never taken a guitar lesson, but there is not one person that hears him play that doesn't say, that kid is gifted. That kid is amazing. He's just an idiot savant, just a naturally talented, like an autodidact. He has taught himself very similar to this child.
Awesome.
We see this a lot with autism, and not a lot with people in general, but especially with people under the spectrum. I think that whenever we can highlight positives to these things, we really need to, as a society, take the time to do that.
Yes.
To show these things. And I wanted to brag about my godson for a second, so I didn't want to do that.
That's awesome.
A guy in Vegas named Frank Steele opened a pizza place called Frankinson's 4 months ago. Great name. And he was struggling to even pay his rent until last week when a popular TikTok food reviewer came in. The TikToker's name is Keith Lee. He lives in Vegas and has over 8 million followers. One of Frank's employees had reached out on their own and asked how he'd how much he charged to review the place. Instead, Keith stopped by on his own last Monday, bought $80 worth of food, taste tested it on TikTok, and loved it. And within hours, his business was booming.
Wow.
Frank didn't know why at first, but a reporter interviewed him 2 days later, and he got pretty emotional about it. I got to see that interview. I got to look that up. Two things Keith really loved were the garlic knots and the lemon pepper wings. Frank said he'd had more orders for those in the last 2 days than he'd had in the last 4 months.
Wow.
And it looks like his business is going to survive now.
Awesome.
In 1 week, the TikTok review has racked up over 30 million views.
My goodness.
I am one of the first people to take shots at influencers and people that do this stuff. I wholeheartedly admit that. You've heard me do it before. This is why this stuff matters, and this is why people like me need to grow up and evolve, because this stuff means something.
Well, and the fact that he can help that guy's business just by going to it, that's... I mean, they are becoming celebrities.
Yeah. And it's something, too, to be said for... They're popular for a reason. Now, what that reason might be is going to change from person to person and everything. But this person in particular that we're talking about is really good at reviewing these things. Now, he should probably have a job if there was a newspaper that was running and there was one up and running. Maybe he'd review stuff for a newspaper or something like that. Those jobs aren't available anymore.
Right.
This is where you find that wheelhouse now. This is where you find those avenues is social media. Yeah. And it's just the way of the world now.
It's a different place.
It's not so bad.
There's definitely good to it.
Yeah, I mean, there's some horribleness to it as well, like you have with literally everything in life. There's good and bad.
Yep.
But the positives that can be happen for small businesses and local businesses, especially people that can't afford to advertise.
Right.
And it's part of why we were just talking with Patrick about this. It's part of why, hey, we believe it. When we say we support local, we are not just saying it. It's not just a catchphrase or anything. Like, you got to back that up. And inviting people like that on the air and doing these kind of things, that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
That's a pretty good story.
That is a good story.
You have yourself a great day, Melissa.
You too, James. Good to see
you. You too. We'll be back with more Morning Show later tomorrow. But for now, stick around for Morning Magazine coming up right here. Oh, you know what? I like the way Heather does this. Heather, you go ahead and do it.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.